This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is certainly a topic we have discussed a number of times, rightfully so. I was drawn to it again. Another excellent story by 60 Minutes last night about what's going on with what, and we talked about this before, the fact that the U.S. Surgeon General calls this an urgent public health crisis. This decline in mental health of kids across the country. According to the CDC, the rates of suicide, self-harm, anxiety and depression are up among adolescents. Yes, it is a trend that began before the pandemic, but it has only continued to go in the wrong direction, a more dangerous direction, since the pandemic started. David's line and an excellent guest, Dr. Sarah Gierstead. She is the medical director of outpatient mental health services at Children's Minnesota. And Dr. Gierstead is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you for coming on. It's such an important topic. Are you seeing,
for having me.
Thank you. Are you seeing any data? Are you seeing anything anecdotally that we're getting better in any way? Because as someone who pays attention to this with kids in my life, in this job, consuming newspaper, online stories, television, there's a lot out there how it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Is that a fair assessment to you?
Well, I think there's some nuance to this. The data would suggest that rates of mental illness and emotional struggles and suicidal thoughts are increasing in kids and adolescents. But are there things that are getting better? Yes, there are absolutely reasons to be hopeful as well. One of the things I think that's made a difference is now that we've moved through the biggest challenges of the pandemic in terms of lockdown and school from home and being separated, people are getting used to having community again and having support and connection with friends in person. I think that has made a difference. And I think one of the things that's also kind of has two sides of the coin is how people use social media. There are certainly struggles with it, and I'm happy to talk about those. But there are also positives. Kids get support from one another. They use it to connect with each other on things that they relate to make plans. So there are just certainly some positive things that we're seeing. But the numbers are real. These struggles are absolutely there for kids.
This is another part which was highlighted last night in 60 Minutes and something else we've talked about before in previous conversations. But this is a reminder from the CDC that since 2019, hospital admissions show the number of teenage girls who have been suicidal has increased 50%. It's also increased for boys, but not as much as this. Social media certainly is a part of it. What other reasons would cite for, sadly, why it's increased so much and why we have somewhat of a disparity between boys and girls in this case?
Yeah, those numbers reflect a lot of what I have seen in my work with patients. And one of the struggles, both boys and girls, kids of all genders, do compare themselves with one another socially. But what we know is that boys tend to use the internet screens a little more for playing games and doing kind of active things. Girls tend to use the internet more for kind of socialization, which results in quite a bit of social comparison. And then there can be kind of bullying and attacks that kids don't quite have the same accountability that they have to take because they're online. And so girls, for that reason, tend to be a bit more susceptible to those things. And they might be a little bit more isolated from support. So those feelings and thoughts get internalized and start to kind of come out as suicidal thoughts.
There is more and more debate, Doctor, about age limits and social media, right? And on the show, we talk often about social media, the great parts of it, parts of it that are really just a cesspool of hate, and also responsibilities of those within the lives of the kids for they to offer up limits. But if someone went to you and said in the state of Minnesota, where Children's Hospital is located, that Minnesota was debating and potentially voting on a minimum age for allowance to get on social media, are you for that, or is it also a maturity situation where it's hard to say, okay, 14 is the age, because as you know better than I, certain 14-year-olds come with very different experiences, very different challenges, and very different maturity levels from, let's say, 15 other 14-year-olds who might be in the room with them.
Yeah. I think what's hard about making it a law is that laws are things that tend to be policed. And who is looking over what kids are doing in terms of social media is their parents. And what I would really love to see is guidance on supervision, guidance on the kinds of sites that kids are on, and guidance on how to talk to your child about what they're doing and have that kind of connection where the child feels safe coming to the parent and sharing what's going on. That's really the best avenue to safety, is having parents kind of figure that out. And the parent knows their child. There might be kids who have disabilities. There might be kids with mental health struggles or sort of just different levels of ability to process things. The parents are going to really know that the best. And the reality is social media is here to stay. It is not going anywhere. And so I think instead of trying to kind of put an age limit, instead give guidance. And that's really, that's the call to action that the Surgeon General is trying to say, is let's help families put some guardrails into place and help them figure out the best approach to managing this.
I agree with you 100% that adults and guardians are the best options. And I'll remind folks, we're talking with Dr. Sarah Gierstead, Medical Director of Outpatient Mental Health Services at Children's. But counseling also helps, you know, different skill sets, what they see, what has worked, what has not worked. Obviously, adapting this to each person and not saying here's one size fits all, and not trying to stop what parents are doing, but try to add to buttress what they're doing. How are we doing with access for kids and counseling availability?
Yeah, that is a struggle across the country right now, and I think there's a number of reasons for that. Access is hard to get, especially for long-term therapy or someone to kind of establish that outpatient therapist, because therapists only have so much bandwidth, because mental health problems are increasing. And so there's only kind of so many therapists to be able to provide the support that's needed. So where do we kind of find some inroads? We have found them in a couple of places. Schools are an excellent place for kids to have kind of a first line of help. That's where they are most days. And so having a school counselor, social worker, support person there to at least maybe provide a little bit of support, guidance in the school setting. There are some programs that have school-based therapists, so they have clinics that are established in the schools. That's a great inroad. And then the final one that I would mention is, like here at Children's, for example, we do have mental health providers established in our primary care clinics where families and kids can have quicker access to at least brief therapeutic intervention and guidance. So there are other places, but we need to, I just think we need to invest in training and support and access in all of these locations for kids going forward, because mental health concerns are a persistent problem that we're going to have to work with and contend with.
Doctor, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate your time. We'll reach out again.
Absolutely. Take care.
Dr. Sarah Jurstedt, Medical Director of Outpatient Mental Health Services at Children's. I want to get to one other important story before we get to some lighter stuff, because we could absolutely do calls. We've done calls many times on kids and mental health, and it's a lot of the same stuff, Dave, right? It's be involved, pay attention, communicate with other parents, know what's going on in your kid's life, make sure counseling is available. And I'd love to hear another example, but we got one of these breaking stories again about stolen vehicle. And what happened today? And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it, because this goes back to our conversation, one of a couple conversations we've had with Police Chief O'Hara. And maybe this can be our impetus to try to get him on again, because we've been trying to get Minneapolis Police Chief O'Hara on again. But I'll tell you more about his story, which has been unfolding as the afternoon has moved along, because there's a lot of what we've heard about, and we know some of the numbers can be better in some areas, but you see this story again and you're left shaking your head. More details when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
So this is some of the data that we used when I think the first of our couple visits with – no, this is maybe one of the second visits with new Minneapolis Police Chief O'Hara. I'll just look at – I'm going to look at two WCCO TV stories. Carjackings in Minneapolis are down 45%. This was as of April. Okay. However, car thefts are up almost 100%, right? Last week alone, 190 cars were stolen. And I know I could even go back here to the KSTP story, because this was like about a week later. This was the J. Cole story that we used some of the data on. Minneapolis police at the time showed there had been 2,725 auto thefts in 2023. And the story was reported April 12th compared to 1,300 last year. So, yeah, some of the carjackings may be gone where they've got a gun in front of you. But stealing cars has slowed down. And I know there's a lot of blame on the two Kias and Hyundais, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why those manufacturers haven't made it more difficult since, I have no idea. Unless some of their policy is, hey, we got your money. good on you. And I know we've had some people text us saying, well, if you have those vehicles, there's something you can buy which can make it much more difficult. Let's not forget the responsibility of the criminals who are taking the cars. I mean, there isn't the need for either a manufacturer to say, hey, we need to do more, if somebody wouldn't have put a TikTok out there and showed apparently how easy it is. And it comes up again today because Reg Chapman with the story in the last hour or so. Police say a pursuit of a stolen vehicle ended in North Minneapolis Monday when the driver hit another car and both vehicles crashed into a bus shelter. Crash occurred 55 and Penn Avenue North. Reg Chapman, great reporter for Channel 4, is reporting there were five juveniles in the stolen vehicle and all were hospitalized after the crash. The injuries were serious, but not criminal. The driver of the other vehicle suffered minor injuries at worst, the sergeant said. The bus shelter, totally destroyed. Police, by the way, said the stolen car was involved in several robberies at gunpoint in South Minneapolis Monday. Several stolen car, and then driving so dangerous, you hit another vehicle. What did O'Hara say with us about his anger about this, that they know so many of these juveniles are doing it over and over and over again, and they're basically going in and out of the police department.
Barely in.
Barely in. That might have even been his quote.
Yes.
What in the hell is wrong with our system right now? Not calling for a firing squad. I understand how we can look at juveniles compared to adults. I also understand something. If you're habitual, that guess what? We move up the chain of punishments. And where Minneapolis has made notable progress in some of the serious crimes, and that should not be forgotten. And now let's see what happens the 3 months of summer. Let's see how it compares to last year. And let's also respond to the folks who continue to tell me I would never come down there during the day. Knock it off. You're foolish. If you're not coming down here 9 to 4, I think you're not being realistic about what's going on. Absolutely, it's better down here when we got more people at Target and U.S. Bank and WCC Radio, whatever it might be. And absolutely 100%, without a doubt, we have more places downtown at night, not as safe as they once were. We can have that conversation. But, Dave, on this, that we continue to have a wave, a raft, a plethora, a high number of juveniles who think, I'm just going to take the car. And it wasn't just O'Hara. It's other police officers we've had on the show where they're not stealing the car most of the time to then sell and make money. They're just somewhere saying, I'm going to steal this car because we're going to drive 10 minutes away and then we'll just leave it there. Or, more serious like this, we're going to steal a car and then we're going to be involved in more criminality, and we think we have a better chance to get away with it because we're in our stolen car.
Mm. Criminality with deadly weapons.
Yes.
Involved.
Yes. So there's degrees. Like, I'm not saying, oh, no, you just stole the car, so you only get a pat on the head. Versus the other ones, we got to punish. Inexcusable that we have not found a way to do both. Yes, rehabilitation for all, in particular for juveniles. But you reach a certain age, Dave, you know this, and you keep doing this, you have to do time. You have to face punishment. As opposed to O'Hara saying, you're basically revolving door. You walk in there, you go back right out, and you engage in the same nonsense.
Yeah, and that's certainly not, you know, he's not advocating for that.
The no, chief. No, not
he's
at all.
Very much saying, no, we need some accountability. And I think he's pushing hard for that. It certainly seems in his conversations with you. Yeah, the accountability is not just for those that are caught stealing the car. It's for the next people that might consider stealing the car, right? It's, well, this is a good idea. I don't know what happened to Billy over there. I don't think I want to be locked up for this, right? It's to get the word out that, yes, even if you're a juvenile, there will be some repercussions, some consequences that are much more serious than, hey, good to see you down at the precinct. We'll catch you next time you get you get picked up.
I'm sure some of these kids or young adults are just laughing. I got arrested. Big deal.
Quite literally. I'm sure they are laughing as they walk out the door.
Cackling.
Yes.
In kind of a mocking way. Whatever. Whatever. So, yes, Kia and Hyundai, I don't know why you did that. Now it sounds like some of their cars are better. But let's not lose sight in any way. The criminals are the main problem. And now let's add those involved in adjusting the law so there is punishment. And hopefully it sends a message, as you laid out. Well, maybe it takes a while to send that message. Well, I wish both would happen at the same time. But if I just have to, if I'm now mayor of the city, at least I get, or city council and how this works too, at least I get those who either it was so egregious or repeat offenders, the punishment is higher. Because when both of us come down here to downtown on a regular basis and say, what are you doing? A lot of people can come back in the data and say, wait a second, I just heard you on the radio the other day saying through April 12th, 2,300 vehicles had been stolen in Minneapolis. That's barely into April. I mean, that's 770-some cars, something like that, a month. I drove down here today. So do you.
Mm-hmm.
We both have a little bit of walks to our car. What if somebody's right there? So, or they found a way to break into our car. The city of Minneapolis, and it's not just Minneapolis, cross country, this has to dramatically change. Has to. And it seems like you have some availability to adjust the laws for the proper amount of punishment. It'd be great if you had 300 more trained officers to do this. I don't know when that's going to happen. But on the punishment, we can control some of that. And it's really pathetic that the collective we looks so feckless in trying to stop this. You want to chime in, you can. 651-461-9226. It's 33 past 2 on CCO. All right, right to the calls. Norm, thank you so much for listening to CCO. You're on right now, sir.
Yeah, so I come from the perspective of law enforcement. 26 years, 22 as a school resource officer and juvenile officer. And I think this uptick in juvenile violent crime is these kids are watching the news. They hear, you look at that big murder case in Hennepin County where the new Hennepin County attorney, first-degree murder, two 16, 17-year-olds should be life without a parole. They put them in Red Wing. They can get out when they're 21. I think these kids are smart enough to think, wow, I steal a car, I carjack a car, do a couple armed robberies. That's less than murder. What am I going to get? Nothing. You also have to look at a book that was written years ago. Jonathan Kellerman, a noted author, he's a clinical child psychologist, wrote a book called Savage Spawn, and it talked about, you know, how long do you incarcerate kids for murder? And it was his as an expert on, as a child psychologist, saying if you have kids committing brutal homicides and they lack that moral compass, they need to be locked up forever because they will absolutely do it again. And for the people that want to disagree with me, I think it's fine. Then you would ask your question of, do you feel comfortable having a halfway house in your neighborhood with these violent kids sitting next door or not? I mean, we have to think about public safety.
Yeah, okay. I listen, when it's murder, that is a very unique circumstance. And then
correct,
we get to age, and I think the punishment should be stern. Do I think every individual who at 14 cannot ever in their life be rehabilitated? I don't. But I also understand murder is a special situation – compared to other violent offenses, which are violent offenses for a reason. Okay. And let's remember on the case, that's the case where Mary Moriarty made the decision to do that. And Keith Ellison stepped in and said, no,
right,
we're going to elevate the charges. I didn't agree with either of that scenario. I'll admit, I thought Moriarty was too soft. And then I thought Ellison stepping in, you know, is he really going to step in every time one of the 86 other county attorneys make a decision? Because, I mean, there's a reason why people vote for county attorneys, and we don't always agree. You know, we don't get a chance to vote every time.
Right.
But I understand your perspective because there's a balance. And sometimes enough people aren't willing to say stern punishment is a part of the exchange as opposed to it always has to be how do we find to rehabilitate. One can be part of the other. And thanks so much for the service that you provided. Jan has called in. Jan, go ahead. You're on Newstalk 830 WCCO.
Hello. So first of all, I am probably pretty far left center. But on this particular issue of juvenile crime, here's my concern. The whole idea of their brains aren't developed and, you know, till they're 25 and all of that. Okay. Whatever.
There is a level of truth to that, though, right, Jan? I mean,
I understand that.
Yeah.
No, I understand that. Yeah. But on the other hand, these kids who are committing these crimes are not, they're, it's not an impulse. Oh, look, there's a car. Let's steal it. And then we never do it again. It's consistent. It's planned. And they have an intent. They are smart enough to know that their punishment will be minimal, which also tells me that they have enough brain power to comprehend that that's wrong. I have a six-year-old granddaughter. She knows that's wrong, even though she's six. Now, the other challenge is, okay, that the scientific proof, and I understand this totally, I understand the science behind it, brains aren't developed until they're 25. So why do we allow people to drive until, before they're 25? Or
vote, drink, make decisions, sure.
You know, right. You know, I mean, those are life-altering decisions. So, you know, there's a degree at which we say, well, your brain's not fully developed, but at 16, we think you can manage this.
Thank you, Jan. I appreciate the call. You raised a point. We pattern habitual planning, Dave. That's where the punishment just has to be stronger. It's not believable, but it's reality that we have individuals who are getting arrested, brought in there, and they've been in there multiple times, and they're leaving right away. They're just leaving. And that's not, that isn't to say, hey, if the first time it's so – listen, I'm not saying you even skate the first time. But obviously, we do have levels of punishment which is stronger in all aspects of our life to how often you're doing it and what did you do.
Yeah, there's a big difference between making a mistake and habitual behavior, I think, as Jan put it.
Yeah.
Doing it over and over and over again. And you know, that's what Chief O'Hare spoke about the last time he was on the air with you.
Yes.
It's constantly juveniles who they've seen – time and time again, that their hands are tied.
Next topic has nothing to do with this previous topic. It's the Trib Talker. Keep your shirt on. Let's see, where do we go with this? Who is the ideal? It's about men. Who's the ideal guy now who should take his shirt off? Not really our forte. Who is the ideal? Do we have Cristiano Ronaldo? He looks tremendous.
It's pretty good.
Ronaldo looks good. Who else is just the abs of steel right now?
It's pretty much any soccer player.
Soccer players.
Yeah, goes with soccer. I mean, Brad Pitt, he's got to be, what, close to 60? He's still there.
Brad still has
He had the shirtless scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Still look tremendous.
Yeah.
Senior golfers.
Lumpy.
My boy Lump. He was right in the mix yesterday. Who is the ideal guy who should take his shirt off? Give me an example, because we can go a lot of ways with this, where you saw somebody with a shirt off and you thought, what the hell is going on here? You know, where was it like, this guy's really, at this particular location, I don't want to turn this into weight shaming, by the way, either. I don't want to, well, it was the heavy guy, you know? But, like, which location? Where were you where you thought, really? That guy's got the shirt off here? And we'll get to part of the story. So it's a unique places
the
where
produce
the shirt,
aisle?
Yeah, produce, I don't know, voting, presidential debate, I don't know. Where are some odd places where a male has taken his shirt off? And who are the ideal people to take their shirt off now? Again, I guess we're back to athletes, actors, singers. It's kind of the biggest star. Now it's the most fit star. Who you got? 47 past 2 on CCO. Keep your shirt on. That's the Richard Chin story, Star Tribune today, talking about men and taking their shirts off. Who should take their shirt off? Obvious candidate right away, Vlad Putin.
Riding the horse?
Are we done? Are we done with that phase of Vlad Putin? Shirt off?
I'm not ready to close that book
yet. You're not ready to close?
No.
Oh, man. Chad, you're making me think I have a man crush on the guy because I keep answering the same for so many questions. The Rock. Oh, The Rock looks tremendous. He looks so much bigger now than he was when he was wrestling.
It's almost unnerving at this point.
Man.
Calm down, Dwayne. We get it. You can lift heavy things.
Yes, yes. Places you should not be spotted while not wearing a shirt. Public library. Public library. What if you know you're there, you're bringing the girls, you know, and there's the guy sitting there with the jeans. He's got the jeans on and he's just shirtless. And he's reading a book. He's got the cheaters on and he's reading a book. That would be surprising. How about the guy with a gold chain who smokes a cigar and wears white socks with sandals? Not a good look.
That's a very busy visual they put together.
Well, we had this debate a couple years ago. The idea that people are trying to convince me that white socks and sandals was cool.
No.
2 years ago, I was lectured by a lot of the youngsters saying white socks and sandals, cool. I said, no, never, ever, yeah. Cool.
You know who isn't wearing white socks and sandals now? The youngsters. Not everything sticks.
Was it a phase and it's gone?
I think somebody tried it and they said, you know, this is actually dumb.
Summer etiquette guide for male shirtlessness. At a beach, pool, or both. That's a given.
Okay. I will say, at the beach yesterday I was at, 90% of the adult males there, shirts on, even in the water.
Shirts on. Jason, unbuttoning. You may do this whole
thing. Is it allowed here?
Yeah, take it off.
Shirtless? All right.
Take it off.
Fine.
Olivia.
No problem. Try to control yourselves.
Working
over there, gents.
Out. Shirt is off right now. Can I click away? Shirt is off.
Couldn't do that when I was anchoring the news.
No, we could not. Very impressive. I like it. Working out. I don't know, are people going to Lifetime or LA Fitness and just taking the shirt off?
No, you can't do that in the gym.
Maybe Crunch Fitness, yes.
Wait.
There's certain clubs where you expect that.
I don't think I'm available. I don't think I know Crunch Fitness.
Is that a thing? Am I making that up?
That's where the mascot goes.
I was going to say. Well, I saw the note, Rocky the mascot. Did you see what he's making this year?
No.
Rocky the Denver Nuggets mascot. Suppose he's making over $600,000 a year.
Come on.
Yes. Good to be a mascot.
Well,
wow. At sporting events, mm-hmm. You do see that, right?
Wrigley Field bleachers, it's allowed.
Wrigley Field. I also think Vikings games.
Mm.
You see.
If you're painted in purple, that is a de facto shirt.
If you're painted like cold weather games. Mm-hmm. Now, Target Field? I don't really think Target Field you do, right?
I think, you know, we get too hung up on the issue of nipples. Like, take your shirt off if you want. Who cares?
Well, even now, still, if it's a female and boobs are out,
yeah,
they'll show the boobs, but they'll cover the nipple.
right?
Like, honestly, that's going to change whether
we can't handle that.
We cannot control our nipple urges.
Commercial on TV right now for kayak shirtless guy in a pool, near a pool. It's fine. Do we really need this etiquette guide? Like, was it just they were out of stuff? They're like, we're going to write a story on
similar to our shows when we okay.
I have a few segments like that today.
At work and on Tinder.
Ooh, Tinder's an interesting question, right? Because isn't that in the cliche?
Hookup?
It's like the cliche list with like the holding a fish photo.
Yep.
It's sort of a red flag, I think, if you see too many shirtless photos.
I think so.
What do I know?
Somebody says white socks and sandals.
Oh, they're back.
Yes,
it's back
if you
in
have
style.
Toenail fungus.
No. The kids have reclaimed the...
I said that to Dave a couple years ago. I got battled on that.
No.
And I'm told it's... Well, now it's Channing Tatum. I stumbled into... Yeah. What's the movie again that I watched again?
Magic Mike.
Magic Mike.
I bet you did.
My God.
It's fine.
It's a handsome man. Handsome man. Will you do any more segments today without your shirt on?
Whole show?
Whole
shirtless?
Show!
Thanks, Livia.
Get the cameras working. Jason's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.